Okay, in theory, we are live.
Woohoo!
Alright, welcome to Pact Tactics, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. That's an all-kobold campaign, all kobolds, all the time, but mostly on Monday evenings. My name is Crash, I'll be your DM for the evening. I am joined by a collection of wonderful people, including, but not limited to, we have Chris, we have Ellie, we have Io, we have Jen, we have Cindy, and I already mentioned me. Okay, so, last week, you may have found a fish god. FYI, sharks are fish. So, it's a really big shark. You did go fishing for it. Fishing for sharks while underwater is not necessarily the best strategy. But there was a lot of stone floor between you and the shark. Was, past tense. It apparently was strong enough to burst through the floor. Now, you do have some assistance in the form of a celestial that Marwise summoned using the Summon Celestial spell. That's fantastic. Marwise summoned a celestial that is not capable of breathing underwater. Less fantastic.
Oh no.
The Coatl could shapeshift into a giant electric eel. So, par for the course. Also, Gox has been shapeshifted into a huge giant crab. Not just a giant crab, but a huge giant crab. The redundancy in the description with adjectives is important because there's a very big difference in the CR values between the two. Gox now has well over 100 temporary hit points.
Yep.
The tank has turned into a tankier tank.
Yeah. giant crab tankier tank. Yep.
I'm not entirely sure if Gox can still rage. Gox might just get crabby. I regret nothing.
Okay, I'm leaving.
How would we know? Sox has a plus 15 to stealth checks.
That's what he wants.
You run into the Kraken on your way out the door.
Oh no.
He welcomes death.
Yes, with puns like that, he welcomes death.
All right, so we're going to start off this wonderful session by rolling for initiative.
That was the biggest waste of a natural 20 I've ever had.
I was going to say, somehow I think an initiative 285 is possibly not correct.
I five-fingered the, I'm sorry.
No.
Wait, what did I
Sox
miss?
Sox is very dexterous.
Rolling for initiative.
So Sox is going 2 weeks ago. With an initiative roll of 285, Sox is going 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Wow.
With his movement speed, he could probably break the time barrier and go back.
All right, I rolled a 14 and my initiative is plus 2.
Sox is basically just doing that scene from the first Superman movie.
Yeah, he is. No, I'm Sox, he's Gox.
Right.
Yes, but which of you is Quicksilver?
Well, that's a 5, not me.
Well, I was Quicksilver, she was Flash.
Right, Yeah. We seem to keep doing this when we make characters now.
Yep.
Totally unintentionally.
Other campaign, we're both clerics.
Yeah, right.
I still think the Bends would have been a good superhero name for your stretchy character.
I think it's cool too, but I wanted, like, I made her a scientist, so.
I think the next Mutants and Masterminds, the first time in a while where we've not accidentally made the same characters.
That'll be first.
I'm
probably
just sticking with Kevin, although I'll have to play him next time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well. So, looking at the initiative, based on the rolls, we have Sox coming in at 25, Marwise at 22, Daldane at 21. Gox at 16, Zeely at 5. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right.
Okay.
So, Sox, a large shark has burst through the floor and taking a bit of a chomp out of your brother, who is currently a giant huge crab.
Okay.
This is not the weirdest sentence I've ever said for this campaign.
Not this campaign, no.
And I feel like it's not the weirdest thing that this group has ever seen either.
True.
No, this is just your average Monday.
I'm not in anything's mouth, so it's still a pretty good day.
Well, that unfortunately may change.
I'm not dimension dooring into anything's mouth this time.
You do it so well.
Yet.
Okay, well, I'm assuming because Gox is in the thing's mouth, it is engaged with Gox, yes?
They haven't set a date yet, but yes.
Okay.
You're fighting. I'm in his mouth though yet.
Well, you might be doing couples counseling.
I'm going to take out my dagger of venom and run at it and stab, stab twice. Question, because Gox isn't a crab anymore. I lose my advantage.
No, Gox isn't a kobold anymore.
Gox isn't a kobold anymore, so I lose my advantage, don't I?
No. That advantage is based on you being a kobold and having an ally nearby the person you're attacking or thing you're attacking. So Gox isn't getting pack tactics, but you, Sox, are.
Okay, then.
The giant crab is your friend.
So first
fish
one
are food,
is...
not friends. Wait.
You say this. First one is a 23 to hit.
I'm playing too much with GIFs in Discord. Give me a second. over 20 hits, yes.
Okay, so both attacks with my dagger hit. So the first one gets sneak attack. So 3. And I need that for the actual. Sorry, math is hard. 33 points of piercing damage for the first two attacks.
33?
Yes.
How do you want to do this?
It doesn't even flinch.
Okay. But it seems like it took all the damage, yes?
That's a good question.
It's a magical weapon.
Resistances. Okay. It does not gain any resistance to stabbing from its ability to speak Aquan. So, no, it takes all that damage.
And you know what? Just for the fun of it, on one of those, I'm going to spend a key point for Stunning Strike.
Because stunning a giant shark is, of course, the appropriate thing to do.
Of course.
Okay.
15, what is it? 15... God, I forget because I haven't been here for 1 week.
Probably con save.
I want to say con. I'm looking. It's being annoying. Where are you, Stunning Strike? Con save, 15 con.
Well, I rolled a 15 on the die.
So it's probably 15.
And chances are anything that has giant in its name has a high constitution. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So, okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Then spend another key point for Flurry of Blows. Two more on our...
Can you spend two key points in the same turn?
I can spend as many key points as I want. Stunning Strike does not isn't an action or a bonus action. It's something you do as part of an attack.
Huh. So I've discovered another reason why monks are OP.
Yes, you can spend as many I could spend all of my key points in one turn if I wanted to.
And for the record...
As
long as you have the key points to spend.
So long as I have the key points to spend and I stick to... the attack and action or out with those.
And for the record, while I just said monks are broken, I still feel that D&D is balanced because all classes are broken.
Oh, everything is broken.
Including the PCs.
Accurate. Let's see, unarmed strike. So first is a 29 to hit, second is 22 to hit. So
16 points?
16 points of bludgeoning. And just a reminder, my fists are magical. Because that's normal.
You start glowing like Bruce Leroy. That's an old movie.
Well.
All right. Is that your turn?
Yes. I'm not going to do stunning strikes because it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not like in the other campaign where you were fighting goblins and ogres and I'll do this thing where they have to make a wisdom save. Why was I even rolling?
I mean, we made a lot of things make wisdom saves that night.
Yes. Now, granted, the ogre did make a 19.
Causing wisdom saves.
All right. So next up is Marwise.
All right. According to the spell, the Celestial doesn't do much besides defend himself unless I order him to. So first thing I'm going to do is tell that eel, attack that shark. And I'm not sure when he goes on the initiative rounds.
Do you tell it to punch that shark? That's a comeback. I should probably have rolled for its initiative, by the way. Okay. Now, it's a coatl, but it's shapeshifted into a giant lightning eel. So I think I'm supposed to take the dexterity modifier for the lightning eel at this point.
Yes.
And I keep having to remind myself that a coatl is a giant winged serpent, because I keep thinking of a axolotl, or whatever those little salamander things are, where their lungs are on the outside of their body and they're incredibly cute. It's not the same thing. So you're ordering the coatl slash giant lightning eel to attack, and doing anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to cast a few spells. First one's going to be Sacred Flame. So it's going to have to make a dexterity save of 16.
Well, it does not make the dex save of 16.
All right, then I'll roll for damage. 16 damage from Holy Fire. And
radiant damage, correct?
Yes, radiant.
Okay.
It's fun. It's just, it looks like fire, but it is my god burning them.
Burn with knowledge.
It's never a good sign when your god's on fire.
There's an out-of-context D&D right there.
Yeah, because in context, this makes a lot of sense. Out of context, it's, oh yeah, my god is currently burning. That's not a good thing. I'm going to conjure food and water right over top of them. Maybe that'll help. Control flames! Control flames!
And
I'm sorry,
then
I think I just broke EO.
Oh no.
I'm sorry that I'm not sorry for breaking EO.
Bold of you to assume I wasn't broken to begin.
Alright, and for my bonus action, I'm going to conjure a spiritual weapon, and it's going to make an attack.
And that was a roll of 27 for your attack?
Yes.
You just narrowly glancing blow it.
4, 9 damage.
All right. Noted. I've done a bold thing, and I put my initiative order on paper upside down. So I've got to work from the bottom up, and I'm just waiting for the point where I start going the wrong way. So that was your action and bonus action, right?
Yep. So that's the end of my turn.
Okay. Duldane, you're up. You are currently maintaining concentration on keeping Gox crabby.
Yes.
What a sentence. That's another out of context D&D, I think.
Well, I got to have something to push to social media.
Right, yeah.
Although currently Ellie's beating me to it.
That's a hilariously dumb idea, and I'm so tempted to do it.
I am intrigued.
You should do it.
And terrified.
Oh, just that the DOS loot has animal friendship.
Oh, wow.
Do it.
You play the giant shark a song and he is enthralled.
Baby shark, do do.
Oh, no.
Do you currently need inspiration? Or do you
sadly no. See, this is the problem with my spell list, is I don't actually have any spells that don't have a concentration component, except ones that are going to hurt everybody.
You still have the ability to, like, mock it and stuff.
True. I could hit it with a dagger.
You could attempt to hit it with a dagger.
But what I'm going to do is drop a third level Dissonant Whispers on it.
It just keeps hearing in its head over and over again, kobolds are friends, not food. Kobolds are friends, not food. Also, your dancing skills are not very good. Are you the left shark or the right shark? Sorry, I talked right over you.
Anyway, it's a wisdom saving throw at 15.
Well, I rolled really well at the start of this. And he never rolled well again. What's its bonus to wisdom saves? Not enough. So, what am I taking for damage?
18 points of psychic damage. And it has to flee.
Bad news. It has nowhere to go.
It flails powerlessly.
It eats in its shame.
And that's all I'm going to do right now.
Okay. Gox.
Okay, so I'm still a giant crab. Huge giant crab. So I guess I can attack it with my giant crab claws?
You can.
Okay, let's try that.
Now, crabs, it's stated here that they only have one attack. But you get two normally. I don't know what the official ruling is, but I'm going to house rule it as you're getting two claw attacks.
Okay. Well, I just rolled a two, so I'm not sure how that's going to go.
All right. Well, for your second trick, roll again.
Okay. That's a 16.
16, and you're going to have a plus 9 to hit as a crab. So that is going to be over 20. That's a hit.
That's a hit?
That's a hit.
Okay, so how do we do damage as a giant crab?
I'm glad you asked. crab claws do 4d10 plus 5 bludgeoning damage.
Oh my god. Okay. All right.
On a hit, your target is grappled with an escape DC of 14.
Okay, so 4d10, right?
Yes.
All right, I've got two. And they are, somebody keep track of this for me. One is a, the heck is that? Oh, one's a one and one is a five.
Okay.
And then I roll the next two. One is a four and one is an eight. So that's the 4d10. What was the rest?
18
plus five.
Plus five. Okay.
23.
Okay.
All right. I have noted the damage.
All right.
All right. Next up is the coatl. And it has been ordered to attack the giant shark. My cat has decided he's been ordered to attack my dice. As one does. Now, the coatl is shapeshifted into a giant lightning eel. And you may be surprised to learn that a giant lightning eel can use a lightning-based attack. Hold on. My cat is trying to turn my whole dice tray over because I put a book on top so he couldn't get to the dice. He is ingenious. Okay. One creature the eel touches within 5 feet of it outside of water, or each creature within 15 feet of it in a body of water, must make a DC 12 constitution saving throw. On a failed save, the target takes 13 lightning damage. If the target takes any of this damage, the target is stunned until the end of the eel's next turn. On a successful save, the target takes half as much damage and isn't stunned. So, I'm going to say that this shark did attempt to flee as much as it could, which means that even though Sox went up and did melee attacks, Sox is currently outside of the 15-foot range. However, since the giant shark attempted to flee, Gox rushed forward as a crab and went snippy snippy.
Yep.
Yes, it figures. You got all crabby, and then you got snippy about it. So you are going to have to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Now, as a giant crab...
Oop, fell off. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Sorry, as a huge giant crab, your bonus to constitution saving throws would normally be a plus five.
Okay, so I'm going to roll the dice. Actually rolled a three.
Okay, I've got some bad news for you.
Yeah.
You are shocked to learn that this is an unpleasant experience.
Mm-hmm.
The shark rolls much higher, so it's going to take half damage. but it's still going to take damage.
Okay. Now, am I still raging from before, or is that not?
No, your rage wore off a while ago because you stopped, you explored, you did some fishing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then I turned into a crab, so I guess I didn't think about raging as a crab. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I only joked about you not being able to rage.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't think he did it.
So you are going to take 13 lightning damage, which isn't so bad because you've got over 100 temporary hit points still, I think.
Yes.
But you are stunned for until the end of the Coatl's next turn.
Okay.
So that's not going to be so good. The shark takes half that damage and is not stunned. It's now the shark's turn. It is done running away, mostly because it has nowhere to go. It opens up its mouth, and you expect it to go chomp, 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 but instead, superheated water shoots out of its mouth towards the party.
Oh, no.
Everyone make a constitution saving throw.
Not a dex save?
It's constitution.
Can I do that even though I'm stunned?
If it was a dex save, I would probably say roll disadvantage, but it's constitution, so just roll it normally.
Just roll it. Okay. I've rolled a 7, and constitution is plus 2.
If you're stunned, you auto fail.
Oh, right, you've got that magic item.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what was
that? Wait,
what? If you're, did you say it was a dex save?
No.
No.
I said if it was a dex save, I would allow it to be rolled at disadvantage for this, but it, and that would be me being generous, but this is a con save.
Oh, 13.
Okay, so the number to beat is 16.
Nope, didn't beat it. Not me.
I beat it.
Just barely, but I did.
Okay. So I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is, on a failed saving throw, you take 52 points of damage. But wait.
Wow.
That's the bad news. Would you like to hear the good news?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's superheated water. Therefore, it counts as fire damage.
Okay.
And you're underwater. And fire damage underwater is automatically reduced by half. That's not resistance. It's just reduced by half.
Yeah, I also have some fire resistance. Well, wait. Do I still have fire resistance if I'm in the form of a crab?
That's a very good question. I'm going to say that the answer is yes, although I see how some DMs would say otherwise.
Okay. So what does that work out to?
Well, let's do the math. If if you were just stuck, if you were above water and this happened, you'd take 52. But no one's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You are underwater. So if you failed the save and you don't have resistances, you are going to take 26 points of damage.
Okay.
If you have resistance to fire, you are actually going to take 13 points of damage.
Okay. I can do that.
Also, if you made your save, I don't remember if anyone said they made their save.
I didn't.
Marwise, Daldane, and Zeely.
Okay, so making the save gives you half damage, so you'd be taking 13. Unless you're resistant, in that case you're taking 6.
I cast Absorb Elements.
Zeely shows off and then laughs in the face of death. You call that fire damage? This is fire damage. Oh, I misread something.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. Being underwater doesn't grant resistance against this damage was the last sentence in the description for this attack. So whatever damage you took, take it again, because it's double that.
What was it, 13? So 13 again?
So you're taking, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's just taking an additional 26, we feel.
Okay, got it.
All the other reductions apply, but in this particular case, this is... Dungeons & Dragons is a game of exceptions. There's a lot of standard rules that... this is what normally happens, unless you're told otherwise. And this is one of those cases where I should have fully read this thing, because this is one of those exceptions.
Okay.
Okay. So if you didn't have resistance, and you failed your save, you took 52 points of fire damage from that attack.
That hurt.
It is,
I don't know how many I put in now. I put in 13, and then I put in 13.
Yeah, you did it right. Okay. I'm commenting on how much damage it was, but I'm not telling you to take more damage anymore.
Okay. I thought I'd done it incorrectly, but
no, you did it right, I'm assuming.
Okay, think so.
I'm just going to keep telling everyone to keep taking more damage over and over again until someone tells me they fell down. I think that's how this game works. But that is the shark's turn.
Okay.
So, next up is Zeely.
I'm trying to remember if these slots I seem to have marked off should still be marked off. Also, I'm trying to remember when I cast the 7th level spell.
I don't know.
Because I'm pretty sure I didn't do that, but also it seems to be marked off.
Would that have been when you were fighting the dragon, or what did we do after that?
After we fought the dragon, we had a time, we came here, we had a fight with a couple of the fish people by the graves.
Then you had a long rest.
Yeah.
Okay, so these things you should had a long rest.
And you fought a few more fish people after that, but Io wasn't here for that session, so Zeely didn't cast any spells during that time. I am loath to use people's highest level spells when they're not here.
Okay, so I don't think I should have that 7th level spell marked off. I think I accidentally marked that off because I was thinking about what I was going to do. Sorry.
It's okay. All right. So, what would you like to do now that you have a 7th level spell available?
I have a very important question. How many tiny objects would you say are in the area?
I would say significantly more than before this attack started, considering that the shark burst through the ground below you.
All right, that is what I wanted to hear.
I provide a valuable service.
I am going to do something. Well, it's a good thing that these things are not all going to be making their own initiative rolls. Because I cast it.
Roll to giggle maniacally at your plan.
Because I cast animate objects in my 7th level slot. And I animate 14 tiny objects.
Okay. 14 tiny rocks are suddenly your minions to command.
And I tell them to attack the shark.
Punch that shark.
I don't know if they have a turn this turn or not. It doesn't seem to say.
I'll allow it.
All right, time to... sorry,
roll
I'm trying 14
to... 14
d20? Yeah, but they have a plus to hit.
We can add that manually.
I know there's a way to roll more than one. I know there's a way to...
There is, but for the sake of expediency, I would say let's
just
do it.
Yeah, I'll find it in before next. 14... okay.
I love that you wrote attack in all caps there. In my head, kidding, that's what Zeely's yelling.
What's the AC?
The AC is 20.
Okay, three hit, one of those hits was a crit.
Okay. What's the damage?
1d4 plus 4 bludgeoning.
While Zeely is rolling damage, I would just like to say that this is one of those times when it's not the DM's fault that rocks are falling.
Indeed. Though technically, I think the rocks are rising.
They're falling towards
angrily.
A different down.
That's fair. I always forget. Do I multiply the plus to damage as
no,
well?
No, just the die.
Only 13 bludgeoning damage. Well, now, figure things out.
Only 13 physical damage, but at the same time, the shark seems somewhat unnerved that the ground is attacking it. It never fought back before. Okay, that is the end of the initiative. So, not the end of the turn. So, Sox.
Okay.
You're still alive, just very badly burned.
Yes. Okay. God, the only thing Sox is good at is stabbing. He's gonna continue to stab things.
Why mess with the plan when it seems to be working?
First is 29 to hit.
That hits.
27 on the second.
That also hits.
Piercing.
Okie dokie.
Just stunning strike on one of them. Con 15.
I continue to roll high on con saves.
Ah, you're the worst.
I'm the worst. Just getting attacked by a small lizard.
Just to be safe, I'll do another key point and bonus action patient defense.
Patient defense?
Essentially, I take the dodge action as a bonus action.
Okie dokie.
Wait, do I even have to do that? Hold on, because I'm a rogue. I forget, do I even actually have to do that?
Well, while you're looking
at that... I can't do that for the dodge action. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Next up is going to be Marwise.
All right. First off, I am updating my instructions to the creature I summoned. Okay, okay. Keep attacking the shark. Try to do it in a way that doesn't stun our allies.
Picky, picky, picky.
And let's see. A part of me wants to use Blade Barrier right now, but I don't think that's the wisest course of action. So I'm probably going to go with the standard first. Sacred Flame has to make a dex save of 16.
You see... If I was Chris, I'd be retiring this die because of its dex saves, but I'd be keeping it because of its con saves. I'm confused.
So but I'm guessing I hit?
You hit.
Yeah.
I keep rolling a 5 on the die for dex saves, and a 15 or higher for con saves.
So 5 radiance damage there, and my spiritual weapon's going to make its attack as well. I use my bonus action to move it into place and... Then it gets to attack. Does 26 hit?
26 will hit. By the way, Io, just so you know, with what your mom is saying in Twitch chat, I never thought I would say this, but your mother has inspiration.
I'm not in Twitch chat.
Well, she said, if you're killing the shark, Finn-ish it.
Oh, that's really good.
No. I approve. I approve wholeheartedly.
All right, and my spiritual weapon did 8 points of damage, and I think that's pretty much all I can do this turn.
How much damage?
8. So all I right. did 9 with my flame and 8 with my sword.
All right. The water is getting very chummy. That might not be a good thing. By the way, thank you, Chris, for subscribing to me via Twitch Prime. Mm. Yay! I now have 2 subscribers, and they are both players in my D&D campaigns. I'm popular! Kind of.
I don't want to miss any sessions.
Hey, that means you're a good DM.
Or they're trying to get more inspiration, if possible.
I love that.
You're a really good DM. Please don't emotionally cripple my player. Too late.
I mean, that's never stopped you in the past.
But this is also true.
There's a point there, yeah.
Yes. So, Daldane, it is your turn.
It is my turn. Okay, so what is the arrangement of the party right now?
There is a stunned crab in front of a shark that is apparently able to breathe steam at you. And Sox is doing a full-on Drax move where he has swum up and is going stabby, 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 stabby. Everyone else is keeping their distance and acting like they're trying to keep their distance. They are not, in fact, swimming casual.
Is there a place I can get to with my movement that's 7.5 feet away from the that's less than 7.5 feet away from the shark? But more than 7.5 feet away from everybody else?
No.
Okay.
You can do one of those or the other, just not both. Those two circles don't overlap.
So if I want to be within 7.5 feet of the shark, I have to be within 7.5 feet of at least one other person.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any spells that don't have that C next to them. Well, I'm going to do Dissonant Whispers again. And I'll cast it at 5th level this time.
Words hurt.
They do. So that's a 15 wisdom. 15 wisdom save.
That's a 16 on the die.
Is it wisdom minus 2?
It's actually plus 1. It's more than plus 1.
Okay. So it takes half damage.
Okay. How much half damage am I taking?
10. 10 psychic.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question that everyone else is probably afraid to ask. What did you whisper to this shark to kill it with words?
Sorry, say that again?
You have killed this shark with dissonant whispers. What did you say?
Wow. Your mother was a shrimp.
And your father was a monkfish.
Who smelt of elderberries.
Well, it's a fish. So, yeah, I should come up with these ahead of time.
You'd taste great with tartar sauce.
Probably something like, even you won't last forever.
It is slain with ennui.
Wow.
All right. Well, we haven't been recording for a full hour yet, but I think this seems like a perfect moment to put a pin in things for maybe a 5-minute break. You want to take 5?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be right back.
After these messages.
We'll be right back.
Yeehaw!
I'm old. All right, pressing buttons. Okay, we're back, and if you're listening after the fact, or you're listening on the stream, you missed a lot of good stuff. I'm sorry. It was not recorded. There is no record of it.
I would like to, for the record, I would like to go on the record as saying that Io's mom's suggestion is better than what I had for the words that told the shark to blow up. And so I would like Io to tell us what their mom said.
All right. She has been texting me occasionally during the game, and she said, if you get more sharks, go with whispers of, you're not anyone's friend. You're just a chum.
Oh.
I've already given your mom inspiration. She can only have That's one pretty point. Good. That's how the rules are.
That's pretty good.
But Zaylee could hold it for her.
I have inspiration too.
Yeah. That is, if I have any complaint about the players in my game, it's that, in any of my games, is that they don't spend inspiration enough. I keep trying to give more and I can't.
You gave me inspiration during the intermission. How am I supposed to spend it already?
And it's your fault for not spending it before we went live again.
Look,
it doesn't matter. There's nothing to roll for.
On Saturday, I spent my inspiration, and then you tried to take inspiration away from me.
Yes, but you know why.
I do.
Okay. Well,
I had a good laugh about it afterwards, and I'll discuss afterward why. But
it is what it is, and it has changed the plot line for that particular game. So we can talk about that later. But in any case, you are now swimming in water that is filled with various bits of shark. Most of it is on the inside of the shark still. It did get stabby-stabbied a lot, and it was killed mostly with emotional damage. But regardless, it's dead. This particular room that you're in, let me pull up the map. My only regret about the shark's death is that it did not actually take lethal damage from Marwise's spiritual weapon, because you could have blended the shark. But no, that's not how the numbers added up. So
this was mocked to death.
It was mocked to death, yes. It died from ennui. So this particular chamber you're in, I described it last week, but I'll describe it again. It is roughly a hexagon, and each of the flat sides of this hexagon has an entrance or exit, depending on if you're coming or going. At the corners of the hexagon are sort of rounded edge alcoves. And in the middle of this chamber is a large, roughly circular hole that used to be a small, very precise circular hole before a shark decided to use it as an entrance. There is another chamber that is slightly smaller than this one down below. Although from where you are now, vantage point wise, you can't see a lot of that chamber below you.
I will drop into the chamber below us.
Okay. You're all underwater, so there's nothing keeping you from swimming down.
I will follow.
Yep.
Me too.
Yep.
Okay. This chamber does seem to be set up as a place of worship. There is an altar at one end of it. Let me go back.
What does it change?
Flipping between things. Oh, what was that?
That was pretty good.
I'm sorry, I missed it while I was bringing up my map. What was that you said?
You described an altar, and I said, what does it change?
Well, apparently, over the years, the being that was being worshipped here has changed. At the time that you entered, they were worshipping a large shark. They could still technically still worship it. And I realize I said technically more than once. I technically said technically too many times.
You're having technical difficulties.
No, technically is working as intended. Technically.
Sorry.
I'm not.
Getting lost in technicalities.
There you go.
This room is
sorry. I take issue with your technically technique.
This room seems to have an exit to the north. Evenly spaced around the walls are statues of dragons. To the south is a statue of a dragon that has five heads.
Oh no.
Do dragons with five heads live underwater?
Can I make a knowledge religion check?
I was going to say.
Sure.
I'll make that too. I got a 15 on mine.
Okay.
Eight.
So you got two eights and a 15. All right. Now, this would be a bit more difficult of a roll if any of you was native to Circulus. But as luck would have it, none of your characters are. So you may have heard a thing or two about Tiamat. But actually, it's Marwai specifically that looks at this and says, oh, that one there's probably Tiamat.
But does it live underwater? Like, do we have to watch out for this thing down here? Or?
This temple was not originally built underwater.
Okay.
And the thing about gods is that they tend to live and show up wherever they damn well please.
Oh no. Zilis, well, it would be pacing if she was walking around, but...
I'm just picturing Zili waving her arms to push herself down to the floor of this temple. And continuing to do that as she attempts to pace as best she can in an underwater environment.
Great. Lovely. Just lovely.
So we've already killed two people's gods. Do we want to go for three?
That is so Gox. That is so Gox.
Yep.
And of a different level. I'd call the shark thing we killed a false god, whereas Tiamat, while very bad, is the real deal.
Yes, yes. Remember the council and how I told them about the mountain core in my head?
Uh-huh.
The mountain core. Okay, we're going to go with kind of like Malathormax, only red and fiery. And, you know, on a different world.
Okay.
And my old clan, the Ikta clan, worshipped them and such. Tiamat gives them orders.
So Tiamat's not down here to fight.
Let's go with that, yes. And also, Tiamat is giving, you know, things like the first god we killed orders. Very important, very powerful. Also, might be mad at me, you know, in specific.
Right, yeah, so we're going to need an army.
Just as a side note, you may have accidentally stumbled on into the temple of a deity that you may have ticked off. Like, personally ticked off.
Wow. All right, so if I'm understanding correctly, we're going to need an army to fight that one.
Or at least a bigger boat.
Or at least a bigger boat.
Marwise has a very big question, but I haven't figured out exactly how to word it.
The small kobold has a big question. I am in favor of this. And well, I did see that you posted in Discord chat that you're studying the area while they were having their conversation. You're not seeing much more than I've already revealed. There may have been more to this, but a lot of it's been taken out or damaged or covered up in grime over the centuries. A lot of it might have been intentional damage done by the Sahuagin, who don't really have any love for any deity that isn't theirs.
Yeah, Marwise's biggest question, though, is that this place basically predates the history of the dominant empire. But how active were gods like Tiamat and Bahamut active in this world that long ago?
That's a very good question. And that's a question that many scholars have asked. But since the previous empire liked to destroy any evidence that something existed before their empire, no one's really got a good answer.
That'd be the kind of question that just keeps Marwise up at night, then.
You're going to have to find someone with a TARDIS to go back in time to get an answer to this question. I think there is a Time Lord in the other campaign.
There's a Time Lord in this campaign. He's a hippo.
That's true.
No, technically he was an elephant person.
Oh, elephant, that's right.
Yeah.
The cult of Tiamat. Let's begin the cult of Tiamat. Start to
More lyrics have been posted in Discord chat, which, by the way, is why EO is cracking up. Rightfully so.
You almost wish that we would go away. But Queen Tiamat is here. And she's here to stay. Look out, Marduk, she's back.
Considering you're a bard, I have to ask.
I have to know, too. Is this something that Daldane is actually singing?
Possibly. Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, Zaylee, give me a religion check.
In her hand. Oh, no.
Me or everybody else?
Well, for you, I would allow it to be a performance check.
Everybody else makes a religion check?
Religion check?
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Well, that's a 15 on the performance check.
I got a 13 on the dice, and religion is somehow minus 2.
I spent my advantage.
I got 13.
I mean my inspiration to get advantage. 15.
Okay.
I actually would like to spend inspiration as well.
Considering I nat 1'd, yes, I'm spending my inspiration. 26 is better. At something she's supposed to be good at.
A 26 is a significant improvement from your previous roll of 15.
But do we want it to
and
be...
a dirty 20 from Marwise. Okay.
And Gox got 11.
15 most, on religion.
Most of you just think it's weird that Daldane's putting on a show. But you're kobold, so it's not that weird.
Celie puts her head in her hands.
Marwise, with a roll of 20 for religion, notices that the eyes of the statues are starting to glow as Daldane is singing this wonderfully catchy, upbeat tune.
I am going to immediately rush over and do the equivalent of putting my hand over her mouth. Since we have snouts, that might mean putting both hands and closing it. But I'm going to do it.
I don't understand what you're doing.
You are making the eyes glow. I don't know what that means, but that's bad.
The eyes are glowing?
That's bad.
Okay, now that the message is communicated, I'll let you know.
My favorite gif.
No. I need to get a handle on this.
By the way, you just saw a little save icon appear in the corner of your vision.
I'm not going to be scared again.
All else being the same, though, I think we should at least get out of this room quickly.
Yeah.
You should get out of this place.
If it's the last thing you ever do.
All right, well. If the historian says we should get out of the room of worship, let's get out of the room of worship.
Okay. Someone take my hand.
Gox will take your hand. There you go.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear. That's, like, still attached to the rest of you, right?
Yes. Do not take my hand off.
No, you didn't say off.
You go and pull a bit too hard, and it just, like, goes...
Oh, no.
We didn't realize that all this time, Zeely had an artificial hand. It's not actually hers. She found it somewhere, but she thought it was cool.
Okay, so question.
Answer.
How far away from the exit is the altar?
The far side of the room. It's a good 60 feet.
60?
Yeah. I mean, you're not currently in combat, so it's not that big a deal.
Oh, it matters for reasons.
It matters for reasons.
Yes, it matters for... Okay, is the door open door?
There may have been a door at one time, but it was made of wood that's long since rotted away.
Okay. So, Zeely is going to get within 10 feet of the altar, and then she is immediately going to cast a Distant Thunderstep.
So is Gox still holding her hand through this or not?
Yes, I'm thunderstepping us both. Or at least I think I can thunderstep to
I do believe you can take a passenger, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you can. If it turns out later I was wrong, we'll say you didn't take Gox with you.
I can teleport one willing creature of my size or smaller.
I think you've done that before.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to a distant thunderstep as far out of the room as I can see that is still within 180 feet.
Okay. How far is your dark vision? Because that's the only thing limiting you right now.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. My 60 feet. So I guess I don't need to distant it then because that's within 90 feet. However, I am going to immediately dimension Doris further.
Okay. The hallway, by the way, extends another 60 feet. The room is 60 feet across from the altar to the door. And then from the door, the hallway goes down 60 feet before it turns sharply to the west. And if you could roll damage for your thunderstep.
Okay. Let me work out what I'm doing here.
And is that a con save that would normally be invoked?
Yeah.
I thought so.
And I'm going to actually blow a higher level spell slot on that because reasons.
I will tell you, after you tell me how much damage you're attempting to do, what I rolled for the con save for the altar.
Let's see. I am using a 5th level spell slot on this Thunder Step, and I am rolling 5d10 damage for 36 points.
Okay. There is a vaguely altar-shaped haze of stone particles. And
did the altar roll a 1?
Well, no. Not really. It's a 2.
It rolled a 2 and it had a -1 on its constitution save.
No, it was made of stone. It didn't have a negative modifier. But a 2 is not going to save it in most cases. And you blew a higher level spell slot, and I'm all in favor of furthering the plot in directions I didn't think it was going to go. So we're going to say that there is a wave of cavitation that is extending outward from this thunder damage, and it almost makes it all the way across the room. I'm assuming that the rest of the party was not necessarily expecting it to go that far, so I'm going to ask, I'm not going to ask for a con save yet. I'm going to say everyone who was not Gox or Azili to go ahead and give me a dex save.
Sorry about this.
22.
16.
Sox materializes some sunglasses and slowly swims away from the cavitation.
Yeah, if I pass, I take no damage, thanks to it.
With a 22, I'm going to say that you not only take no damage, you make it look cool.
Yeah.
Sox does not look backwards at explosions.
The losers look backwards at explosions.
Daldane manages to not necessarily make it look cool, but is okay. More of a must move faster thing, and then you're okay. Marwise does that thing where you jump up right before it hits you, and it pushes you along. So Marwise ends up going past Daldane. Not necessarily a controlled exit, but an exit nonetheless. And Marwise, go ahead and make a con save for me.
Oh dear.
It's not going to be the full 36 damage because you're pretty far away, but the water is compounding. That's a nat 1.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So, let's say that not going to be the full 36. Half of that would be 18. I'm going to say you take 9.
9?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get pushed forward 20 feet, which remarkably puts you at the exit.
I am taking that exit.
Okay.
I've had enough of this room.
Everyone has. The room has had enough of this room.
And Zaylee has definitely had enough of this room. And I think the room's had enough of Zaylee, too.
Yes. The room looks a little smaller than it did before, too.
That's actually surprising.
Well, usually explosions don't make rooms smaller. Unless they make rooms size 0.
And the penny drops.
Oh no!
I am glad to be here for you in this moment of learning.
So the room is collapsing behind us and we need to get out of it.
You have all made it to the exit of this room. But this room is now an X room, shall we say. The good news is they no longer have to worry about radon leaking in through the basement.
Good.
You have provided a valuable service.
Well, I'm glad I didn't thunder wave during the combat.
Wow.
Well, to be fair, your thunder wave probably would not have been right at a load-bearing structure that you were attempting to destroy. Your thunder wave would have been directed at a large shark.
That's what I was trying to do with the 7.5 feet thing, by the way.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes. Yeah, but at that point, you would have hit somebody, most likely Gox, because when you're a giant, huge crab, it's hard to miss.
Yep.
It is time we talk about the giant, huge crab in the room.
But he's not a giant, huge crab anymore.
No, he's not anymore. But he was next to the elephant.
I just wanted to give I just wanted to give Gox the opportunity to do enormous amounts of damage and grapple.
Oh, he tried.
He did a significant amount of damage. Significant amount of
damage. You succeeded.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Now, I didn't say this out loud, but when I was rolling for the shark's ability to get out of the grapple, I did roll a nat 20. So the grapple was not as effective.
The grapple was not.
Ah, okay.
But the amount of damage. You chummed it.
Yes. You did a good job of carving it up, but unfortunately we won't be able to rescue any of that meat.
Well,
because it's under room at the moment.
Okay.
So if there's one thing that I've learned from being in this structure for the last 2 days or so, it's that sound carries.
Oh no.
We should be prepared.
We get to fight more fish people.
We'll be prepared. Prepared for what?
I have a question.
For the death of the king.
Oh, is he sick?
No, you fool.
No, we're going to kill him.
Technically, I think you may have already done so.
Yeah, I think we did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, a question. Did the collapse stop at the end of the room? Should I make a survival check to know that?
I'm not going to require it at this point. You're kobolds. You're used to being underground. Underground and underwater at the same time is a bit of a new experience for you. But you think things have settled for now.
Okay.
Unless you want to do more thunderstepping.
No. I don't want to blow up the hallway. I wanted to blow up the altar to Tiamat.
You may have managed to do that.
Yeah.
So the hallway you're in, like I said, you're at the end of a 60-foot straight line. It then turns sharply west. There is a small room that may have been used for something, but it's just empty right now. And that room exits into a winding staircase that goes up.
Hey, Zeely, you've got to identify, right?
No.
I thought you did.
Oh,
I have animate objects.
I can do it. I can help.
Can you tell us what this mace does?
I can tell you that
the
magic, first.
It
won't animate. Okay,
okay. I
want to know if I should keep the mace.
I can only do this 3 times a day. What am I doing?
You're going to check the mace and then this battle axe that glows.
Okay. I cast Identify on the mace first. I sit down for a minute and I do my little ritual thing. And
okay. How long does it take to cast Identify? I think it's 10 minutes.
1 minute. One minute for me.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this now. There's likely a horde of fish people coming our way.
Someone give me a stealth check.
Akari, give us a stealth check.
Doing it. 18 plus 15. Someone math me.
Considering you're the one casting the spell that has somatic and verbal components, technically verbal components, then yeah, having... You're not going, identify. It's like, identify.
So, 30, 33.
Rogue / monks are broken.
Just like in the main Circulus game,
plus 15.
We have Mazir do the stealth checks.
Yeah.
And Mazir is even stealthier when Pass Without a Trace has been cast.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that would be very handy. Could you imagine Pass Without a Trace as well?
Broken. You're all broken. Okay, so this mace is a mace of disruption.
Ooh.
When you hit a fiend or an undead with this magic weapon, that creature takes an extra 2d6 radiant damage. If the target has 25 hit points or fewer after taking this damage, it must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or be destroyed. On a successful save, the creature becomes frightened of you until the end of next turn. Back! I just scared my cat by saying that.
Is your cat undead?
I'm pretty sure my cat is not undead.
Is your cat a fiend?
I don't know. I'm not actually a paladin, so I haven't used that ability to check. Sometimes he is quite fiendish.
Okay.
Mostly when there's small bits of paper, as mentioned in a previous game, but never mind about that.
Remove bookmark.
So I content blurb onto everyone what that is.
Okay.
Do you want me to do the other one or?
Uh huh. Here.
Okay.
Also, here's while you hold this weapon, it sheds bright light within a 20-foot radius and dim light for an additional 20 feet. The mace.
Yes. Does.
Wow.
Proficiency
with
the mace.
I'm not sure we want bright light.
Well, maybe not today.
Yeah.
We're kobolds.
Yeah.
Proficiency bright with light. This mace allows you to add your proficiency bonus to the attack roll for any attack you make with it. That's all the content.
Okay.
And
otherwise, if you don't want this, I'll take it.
Oh, another stealth roll? Okay.
Yeah, because you're casting Identify again. You're sitting here for a minute and talking.
32.
I am not going to be able to beat that. Okay.
Okay.
So, once again, you go undetected. It's a great axe plus one.
It's a great axe. It's a great axe plus one.
It's not just a good axe.
Oh, okay. So it's better than the one I've got. Cool.
Yes.
Can she wield a great axe?
Wait, what? I didn't hear it.
Can you use a great axe because you're a kobold? Wasn't that what you were doing with Ponk? He couldn't use a great axe because little...
That's a good question.
Let me look at Gox's character.
Yeah.
Because Gox is already wielding an axe.
He's already using a battle axe. A battle axe.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's a battle axe plus one. Oh, darn. I don't get to make my great axe jokes.
The
DM is upset. Rocks fall. Everyone dies. Roll up a character that's wielding either a great sword or a great axe. You have to be wielding one or the other.
Aww. Okay, also, so what's the outcome of this weapon then?
It's just like your current battle axe, but it's plus one.
Okay.
Also, as a point, I did the math. If I rolled a natural 20 with Pass Without a Trace up, 45 stealth.
Wow. So I just added that Mace of Disruption to my inventory. It is overwhelmingly worse than the basic dagger that I'm currently wielding.
Yes, unless you're fighting a fiend or undead.
Unless I'm fighting a fiend or undead, in which case I'll pull that out.
Are maces simple weapons?
Yes,
I think so, yeah.
They're slightly more complicated than a club, so yes.
Okay.
I don't know how to add this in. Sorry.
I have added it already. If you reroll. Yeah. Reroll your character.
Okay.
Start over fresh. If you refresh your character sheet, you should see that I have equipped it for you.
I see it now.
All right. I got one more charge. Anyone else need something checked?
No, that's what we found.
I helped.
You did. Thank you.
You did good.
Thank you, Ralph Wiggum.
I knew that spell was going to come in handy someday.
Yeah, that's going to be a highly situational weapon for me, but when that situation comes up, heck yeah.
That or give it to the rogue, who then will do sneak attack damage on top of all the other damage.
Do you get to do sneak attack damage if your weapon is glowing like the sun?
Well... Technically,
I do sneak attack damage when I have advantage.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you usually have advantage because we have pack tactics.
It's not a finesse weapon, though, so you wouldn't be able to use sneak attack. I withdraw my statement. It's a strength-based weapon.
Yeah, not a lot of finesse involved in hit enemy with big metal stick.
If you look at the art for it that I linked, it's a fancy big metal stick.
I mean... I would argue that. Look at short sword. That's a finesse weapon. It's essentially a metal stick.
A sharpened metal stick.
Yes, but it's a stabby, slashy
metal
stick.
It's sharpened, but it's still a metal stick.
It's really hard to be finicky with a mace.
Finicky, like, I'll agree with.
You don't see Zorro using a mace. If you can see... That's
quite a
I think that's the distinction. If you can see Zorro using the weapon, it's a finesse weapon.
That's why horses are finesse weapons.
Exactly.
Yep, let's throw a horse at it so I can get sneak attack.
Well, most ranged weapons are finesse weapons, so yes. But unfortunately...
The horse was...
Zorro with the repeating crossbow.
That shoots horses.
I mean, that's something I've never actually thought of getting, like a crossbow for my sneak attack. I should never do that. Does a crossbow count as a monk weapon?
That's a good question. You'd have to check monk proficiencies for weapons.
I need to look that up.
Okay. Well, do you want to continue to hang out at the end of this hallway in front of the staircase while you look things up, or do you want to do something else?
I want to do something.
Okay. What would you like to do?
What time of day?
You don't know what time of day it is.
What time of day does it feel like? How long has it been up since we got up?
It feels like you've been going around for 8 hours, but you know that that's just how you feel, because you just fought a giant shark then escaped a collapsing room.
All right, that's a fair cop.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell Sox to sneak up and see if the Sahuagin are still eating lunch.
Okay. I will sneak up and go see if the Sahuagin are still eating lunch.
Okay.
Wait, what? Sox. I see what?
Sox, you see glowing eyes back from the way you came.
Oh. Guys, glowing eyes.
Yes.
Where?
I point.
There's a lot of rubble and particulates in the water back there, so you can make out zero details. But something there is glowing.
Let's all move.
Wait a minute. Is this in the direction of the way we just came from, like in the direction of the collapsed room?
Yes.
Or
which is also the way you came, because you swam down into that room.
I send Fox towards it.
Oh, no.
And I put my hand on Daldane's shoulder and go into Fox vision.
Okay. Give me... Well, let me... What's Sox's armor class? Not Sox. Fox.
Oh, Octopus Fox's armor class is 12. He has 3 hit points, by the way.
Oh, so there's a chance that he might just not go pop instantly.
Boom.
Okay, give me a perception check at disadvantage.
But he has dark vision.
Dark vision, yes. See through rock vision, no.
I mean, he's an octopus. They're incredible, aren't they?
They are incredible. They don't see through rock.
Okay.
If you wanted to be able to see, then you needed Zili to not collapse the altar of an ancient and terrible dragon god.
It would have been a 21, but it's a 10.
Okay. You don't see what kills Fox, but something kills Fox very quickly.
Oh.
You were looking towards the glowing eyes when everything went blank. You don't.
I want to put my let's all move out of here back on the table.
It killed my octopus.
You can get him back.
Now
right?
You've got some calamari.
Rude.
So actually, what are the glowing eyes? Are they, like, is it a statue? Are we going to fight a statue after all?
You can go back and check if you want. Or you can take the advice.
I don't think anybody wants me to go check.
Yeah, let's go the other direction.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. How long does Summon Celestial work?
That's a good question.
It lasts an hour on its own, but it's also concentration based, so I imagine I gave up concentration when the fight ended.
Okay, so I can close the tab that has the Coatl stats then.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I see the glowing eyes?
They're hard to make out. Sox has an incredibly high passive perception, which is why Sox noticed it first.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But now that you've been pointed out, you can see something down there is definitely glowing through the debris and particulates.
All right. Is it moving closer to us?
Give me a perception check at disadvantage.
All right. I don't remember how this worked.
Story of my life.
Between 23 and 23, I'll take a 23.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to take the lower of the 23s because this is a disadvantage. Okay. You are fairly certain that whatever's glowing is not moving towards you. But it is still glowing.
Yeah, people have mentioned the glowing eyes at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sox probably freaked out just a teeny little bit and pointed it out.
So yeah, Marwise is definitely going, let's please glow. Glowing eyes is never a good sign.
How far are we from the far end? You said this was a 60-foot corridor, right?
You're not quite sure how far away the glowing is.
But no. The other end.
If you
we're in a 60-foot corridor. The glowing eyes are at end A. When we came down here to begin with, all the way back last session, we came down at end B. How far are we from end B?
Okay, so when you are you talking about where you first entered into the room by swimming down?
No, I thought we had okay. We fought the shark in...
And the shark didn't win.
The
shark didn't win, yes.
Yes. We killed the shark, but we didn't kill the deputy shark. What I'm going to call room A1. We swam down into room A2.
Mm-hmm.
A1 and A2 are separated by a floor.
We're
separated by a floor. When we start exiting A2, I assumed we were swinging back up into A1.
No.
Okay.
I assumed that you'd be trying to follow Zeely, who booked it through the hallway.
Okay. I thought her thunderstep took us back to the hallway we came through to enter A1.
No, it's A2's hallway that you're at the end of.
Zeely, EO needs to go as soon as possible. Okay. So we are currently in a hallway that before entering A2 we had never been in before.
This is true.
Okay.
And in all honesty, this is probably a good point to end it because we've been recording for almost 2 hours. So yes. Having EO needing to bow out at this time, we can pick this up next week. This is a good breaking point.
Well, okay. I'm gonna make a suggestion that allows for next week to be somewhat less frantic in its beginning. Is that okay?
Okay.
How far are we from the far end of the hallway from A2?
So, how far does this hallway go? From the room.
Yeah, like if Daldane were to look down the opposite direction from the altar room, how far would she be able to see?
So the altar room itself was about 60 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone down a 60-foot hallway. You're at the end of this hallway. It's bending sharply to the west from here. There's a small room, and then there's a staircase going up. But you're at that intersection between end of the hallway, small empty room, and stairway.
Okay, I'm going to go into small empty room and spend a minute casting Mordekainen's Magnificent Mansion.
All right. Then next week, we'll pick it up with everyone exiting the Magnificent Mansion to see what happens after 8 hours. All right.
Yes. Right. Okay. And the Magnificent Mansion has a duration of 24 hours, so we can stay in there as long as we need to until the eyes get bored.
What happens if you cast...
I will have teleport back by that point.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the idea, is we all get a long rest, we're all fresh, we can face whatever we're coming up against.
Or get the heck out of Dodge.
Or get the heck out of Dodge, exactly.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Sounds all good?
Right. So, okay. So,
that's a wrap then. Thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone who was listening live or listening after the fact. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people. We had Chris, we had Ellie, we had Io, we had Jen, we had Cindy. I have been Crash. Who wants to plug stuff?
Io's mom writes books at elizabeth-mccoy.com. I run a social media website at elekk.xyz where you can apply for an account. When it says, why do you want to sign up? Say, because I listen to Crash's podcast.
Someone has to. Wait.
I do a podcast, World of Warcraft and Blizzard-based podcast. If you want to listen to us, you can find us at azerothctc.com. The new episodes will be up next week, and we record the show live on my Twitch channel at 4 p.m. GMT on a Saturday. My Twitch channel is twitch.tv/akari_mag.
And my website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got two podcasts and a whole bunch of other stuff. A lot of it's gaming related, and then there's things that are completely unrelated to that. And I add to it whenever I can. That's bookofjen.net.